Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
First lesson is from Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 4. Isaiah is often referred to as the Messianic prophet. He tells us in this reading of a future time when a great light will come to shine through the land now draped in darkness. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The psalm today is Psalm 27, Dominus Illuminatio, the light. Let us read it together in unison. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? One thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock. Even now he lifts up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Glory to the Father,
and Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul calls for unity in the Church of Corinth at this time. And there's no other way to say it. The light has dimmed, and the church is a mess. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you are baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last week, we heard that John the Baptist told his two disciples to follow the Lamb of God. When Jesus noticed that they were following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" I hope you took some time this week to ponder what that really means to you. We hear this week that John had been arrested and that Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum. Capernaum being on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. John's public ministry was over. Jesus' public ministry was just beginning. Matthew tells us that Jesus' move to Capernaum was to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." The people Isaiah was talking to were the Israelites who had been displaced when Jerusalem was destroyed. With Jesus' move from Nazareth, those who would hear about the light now was in Capernaum and the surrounding areas, and they were going to receive the light in the person of Jesus. Soon after his move to Galilee, Jesus is walking on the beach and says to Simon and his brother Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And the scripture tells us they left their nets and they followed him. Then he saw James and John in a boat with their dad, Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. And immediately they got up, left their father, left their boat, and followed him. Now, I don't know about you, but this particular scripture makes me a little nervous, makes me squirm. These fishermen may have known something about Jesus, at least from hearing other people talk about him. Maybe they had heard him speak before, maybe not. The gospel doesn't tell us if they even knew there was a man called Jesus, nor does it tell us that when he called those four disciples, that he ever introduced himself. How many of you recognize the name Philip Yancey? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Philip Yancey, 7, is a wonderful Christian writer. He lives up in Evergreen, Colorado. And I met him because when Jonah and I were doing hospice chaplaincy, his wife was one of our chaplains. And so we spent some time with him and his wife. And that's not the story for today, but that's how I knew him. And he is wonderful. And last week I saw a picture of him on Facebook. And I looked and I went, Philip, you've gotten so old. And then I looked at Joan and then I looked in the mirror and I went, maybe not. Nevertheless, the picture that I saw showed a guy with a scruffy beard and with messy hair and with a soft smile on his face. And if his skin had been darker and his nose had been bigger, he could have passed for some of the pictures I've seen representing Jesus as a Middle Eastern Jewish man that he was. Imagine Philip Yancey, who most of you don't know and have perhaps never heard of, showing up in the parking lot on a Sunday morning just after church. As you're leaving the church, car keys in one hand and a child or multiple children in the other, he looks at you and says, follow me right now and help me bring people to God. What would you think? What would you do? Would you hand your keys to someone else and put the baby in someone else's arms? I don't think so. I know you mothers. Would you say thanks but no thanks? Would you say, not now, but ask me again sometime? Or would you ask for his cell phone number so you could block his next call? Would your response be different if you knew about him, or you knew him, or you had never heard of him? That's what happened to the four fishermen. And they got up, left everything, and followed him. So while you're thinking about, oh my God, what would I do? I probably wouldn't do what I think I should do, because I couldn't bear to do that. But so while you're thinking of that, let me tell you about a story from my childhood, because you love those stories. I know. I always watched a TV show called Wild Kingdom. Is anybody old enough to have ever seen that show? Oh yeah, my peeps. It was a weekly nature show sponsored by Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company. So it was really called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, like they owned it or something. It was the black and white late 50s version of Animal Planet. One week, the show was about the elephant seals that lived in the waters around Argentina. It focused on a mother seal who had just given birth to a new pup. Right after the birth, the mother, who was starving, left her pup on the beach and went to feed in the waters off of the coast. After feeding, she came back, but to a different place on the beach. And she began to call her pup from there. And then she listened before she called again for its response. There were lots of mothers and pups on that beach, and all of them were calling back and forth to each other. On the TV, the beach was so noisy that I couldn't believe that any sound could be differentiated from any other sound. But the mom and the pup found each other relatively quickly. I was fascinated. I went into studying biology. I was so fascinated. The moderator of the show explained that the scent and the sound of the pup are imprinted in the mother's memory from the moment of birth, and that the scent and the sound of the mother were imprinted in the pup's memory during the birthing process as well. Looking back at today's gospel, I wonder if, like the baby seal, we might each be imprinted with the memory of God at our birth. And an even more stunning thought, that God might be imprinted with the memory of each of us. maybe no matter how long it takes, for some a whole lifetime, we will eventually find each other. Some find God earlier than others. Some find God late. Some find God, I hope, at the moment of death. Today's gospel tells us about the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and the calling of his first disciples. The reactions of those four men he called were to suddenly drop everything, stop what they were doing, and leave. They left their boats, they left their nets, they left their parents, they left their children, they left their wives, and everything they knew. It was as if they felt compelled to follow him, like maybe they had been waiting their whole lives to hear that voice, and once they heard it, they had to obey. They didn't pause to think, didn't consult families, didn't pack anything. They didn't even withdraw money from the bank. Maybe they were responding like the seals to what was already imprinted on their souls from the moment of their birth, the knowledge of the word of God, so that when they heard it, all they could do was respond with radical obedience. But the reading for today doesn't end there. The rest of the gospel reminds us of what Jesus began to do as others were called to be his disciples. The scripture says he went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming good news of the kingdom and curing all of the diseases and every sickness among the people. His call wasn't for future salvation. His call was for contemporary action, to fish for human beings, as an analogy, was a call that the fishermen could understand. There are so many voices in our world today, many of them claiming to be God's voice. To discern if we can even hear that voice, hear that truly voice that is truly God, we have to determine if the person who is speaking to us is really consistent with God who is revealed to us in Scripture. In order to do that, we need to remember what Jesus did while he was on earth. First, he came to announce and usher in the kingdom of God by calling the people to repent. I used to think that to repent meant to say, I was sorry to God, and that I would try to do better and be better with my behavior for which I was sorry. I really did. I was new at this. I used to think that's all I had to do. I'm sorry, I'll try to be better. And I had repented. The basic meaning of repent actually is to experience a change of perception and a change of purpose. Repenting is what happens inside of us that leads to new behavior. It's not the new deeds, but the inward change that bears the fruit of the new deeds. And Jesus is demanding that we experience this inward change. He invited sinners of every kind into the kingdom. Prostitutes, tax collectors, thieves, and even Gentiles. That blew me away as a little Jewish girl. It's like, what? Once in a while, it still does. But I'm trying. He proclaimed that the kingdom, the demands of the kingdom of God, were to support and love and care for one another. And in the end, he opened his arms to embrace the whole world in love so that all might know him as the love of the world. Yesterday, a cohort of us from St. Bridget's stood with members of many other parishes from Fort Collins to Manitou Springs. We walked together behind a banner, recognizing all of us as members of the Episcopal branch of the Jesus Movement. That's a term coined by our presiding bishop last year. We were 8 out of this morning's count, almost 200,000 people in Civic Center Park. Some carried signs made by a sister church who gave them away in love to whoever wanted to carry them. I got one early, and I had to put bling on it. And then everybody was jealous of my bling. But it says, if you can't see it, seeking and serving God in all persons. We are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus Movement. Presiding Bishop Michael Carey. Curry. I know Michael Carey. And it was a long morning, and I carried it. And I carried it high, and I carried it low, and I waved it at the helicopters that were going overhead, and we yelled, and we carried on. And there were 200,000 people. And Civic Park couldn't hold them all, and they spilled out into the streets. And it took us almost an hour and a half, once the march started, to move more than, what, 4 feet, 4 steps every 7 minutes? Because I had people coming from streets in all directions, and they all merged together. But rather than marching against something or someone, we were marching for things. We were marching for women's rights. We were marching for the rights and respect, rights of and the respect of Muslims, Jews, LGBT people, the disabled, children. We were marching for our own dreamers' rights for an education and for our leaders to work with the rest of the world to save our polluted planet. We marched because Black Lives Matter and because we believe that access to health care for everyone is a right and not a privilege. We were called to be there. We had to be there. We had to participate. We were there to bring God's light to those who were happy, as well as to those who were sad. There were no incidents, no trouble, no fights, no fires, no bullying. 200,000 people were safe. We were just people who became excited and enthusiastic, people willing to leave their comfort zone and become active in human rights issues. All around me, people were being called to action, to find ways to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. The leaders expected 40,000 people. The city expected 40,000 people. RTD expected 40,000 people. Yeah, and 200,000 showed up. Buses broke down. Trains couldn't accommodate everybody. It took hours to get through the march. Police were scattered along the route, and we shook their hands, and we thanked them for being there. It was cold. Everyone was peaceful. God showed up, and it was good. And we were marching in the light of God. And we sang that song as we marched. We are the light in the hands of Jesus. But we are also responsible in the midst of so many voices calling us in the present day to know God well enough to be able to discern what voices are consistent with the God who created us in God's own image, with the God who redeemed us through God's Son, and the God who sustains us by God's Spirit in and through the body of Christ. Amen.